Now, if you would turn with me in your Bible, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Those of you who are with us regularly on Sunday mornings will recognize the fact that we are studying Luke's Gospel just now, but that we had indeed begun chapter 11. And you may think that we are going into reverse gear by going back to the end of chapter 10. But it has seemed to me that on this rather special day, when our minds are inevitably turned to the theme of serving Christ, that here, in these few verses at the end of Luke 10, we have a passage in which there is an enormous amount for us to learn about Christian service, about the significance of all that it means to be called to serve the Lord Jesus. It is, of course, the story of Martha and Mary. Very, very familiar story to us. I think it would be possible to give it a title for our purpose this morning: Two Ways of Serving Christ. Two Ways of Serving Christ. The trouble is that in the eyes of Jesus, manifestly, one of them was wrong and the other was right. And most of the lessons that are to be learned from this passage about acceptable, effective, God-pleasing Christian service derive from this distinction. I think in the light of that, it would be important, although we only have a few moments this morning, to take one or two of them to clear away some of the misunderstandings about Martha and Mary and this incident at the end of Luke 10 before we focus on the lessons that are to be learned from it. Let me point out two things to you which are of cardinal importance. The first is that this is not a picture of two equally valid ways of serving Christ. It's often misunderstood in these terms. You know, the practical, active Martha, who was a practical Christian, and the rather impractical, contemplative, pious Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet. And that both of them, because they are different people expressing themselves in different ways, are serving Christ in different but equally valid ways. The simple fact of the story is that one of them was rebuked by Jesus, however gently, and the other was commended. One of them chose what the other rejected. And Jesus identifies only one of these forms of service as being acceptable to him. Let me say to you again that this is not a picture of two different kinds of imbalance in Christian service. Sometimes, for example, it is said that if Martha had just had a little bit more of Mary about her, and if Mary had had a little bit more of Martha about her, they would both have been better women and more effective servants. On the contrary, it is a matter of alternatives. One is right and the other is wrong. And it is a matter not of mixing the two together to get a better product in the end, but of choosing between them. Jesus says, Mary has chosen. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen it. And the implication to Martha is, you should have chosen it too. Now, therefore, the questions that arise that I want to ask of this little incident this morning, that we may learn from it in the context of our brothers and sisters going out in a fresh way this morning to serve Christ in Japan. The questions that I want to ask are two, and they're very simple. One, what is wrong with Martha's service? And two, what is right about Mary's? What is wrong with Martha's service, first of all? Well, there is a general and comprehensive answer to that question from the passage, and it's this. She substituted serving Christ for knowing Christ. And that basically is what is wrong with Martha's service. She made serving Christ a substitute for knowing Christ. Now it is clear and obvious that hard work in the Lord's service is never optional. But the sinister danger is that we can be so immersed in serving Christ that the very service itself can become a substitute for knowing Him. That was certainly the root of Martha's problem. And you can see all the signs of it if you look at her a little bit more closely. Look at the things which were suffering in Martha's life. Have you noticed it? Now, she is here represented as somebody who is serving the Lord, you see. She is a servant of Christ. Indeed, she's cumbered with serving. She's harassed with serving. But she's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are things happening in her life that betray the fact that her very service has become a substitute for knowing Christ. First, notice, her own spiritual condition was suffering drastically. Luke identifies that in verse 40 for us. He says, Martha was distracted, in the RSV, by much serving. That is, the word means she was drawn, or more literally, she was being dragged away. And perhaps especially, she was being drawn away from a single-minded devotion to Jesus. You find the same root of that word in 1 Corinthians 7:35, where Paul speaks of your undivided devotion to the Lord. That is the kind of devotion to the Lord that is not distracted and drawn away. Now, do you notice in verse 40, what was distracting her was her service. Isn't that amazing? Do you say, how could anybody be distracted from the Lord by being busy in His service? But that's precisely what was Martha's problem. And she was being drawn away. The distraction, the drawing away, was being drawn away from Him. You will remember that the result of that in verse 41, you notice it, was that she was anxious and troubled about all the wrong things. Now that's precisely the condition Jesus warns against in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. You remember, He says, be not anxious. Don't be troubled about the things that the world troubles about. Now here is Martha, you see, who has been drawn away, distracted by the sheer pressure of her service and the way she was going about it from the things that are central. And she was anxious and troubled about the things that made anxious and troubled worldly people. Her personal spiritual condition had suffered. It goes without saying, secondly, that her relationship with Jesus suffered. Look how she addresses Him in verse 40. Lord, she says, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. And so she hectors and lectures Jesus until you would really begin to wonder who was the servant and who was the master, wouldn't you? Who is employing whom in this? She says, Lord, do you not care? In other words, she says, you've got your priorities all wrong sitting there talking with Mary when I am left here serving. Do you not care? And she begins to lecture Him. Tell her, she says. You obviously don't know what you should be about. Tell her. She begins to lecture the Lord Jesus. Do you see how she is almost trying to manipulate and use Jesus so that her idea of service may be fulfilled? It's really a frightening picture. Do you notice how the work has become bigger than Jesus? for Martha. My dear friends, all of us who are involved in serving Christ are aware of the danger of that. And it's a danger that needs to be sounded in our souls every time we recommission any of our brothers and sisters to return to this kind of service to which Ralph and Elsa and John and Elspeth go. The greatest of God's servants is never free from the danger of the work becoming more important than Jesus and sitting at his feet and knowing him. Not only so, did you notice that because everything wasn't working out Martha's way, she was nursing a deep-seated resentment against Jesus? Lord, she says, do you not care? It's a mark of the fact that she was so absorbed with serving him that she was neglecting knowing him. And when he spoke to her, it was in the words of rebuke that we read in verse 41, Martha, Martha. Do you notice in the third place, not only did her own spiritual condition suffer and her relationship with Jesus suffer, but her relationship with her sister suffered as well. In verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. She went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She complains to Jesus about Mary. And her attitude to Mary was obviously one of resentment and bitterness and complaint. And as in so many other instances, the tongue is the index of the heart, and it's significant that Martha's sole use of her tongue is for criticism and complaint about others and an implied self-pity for herself with a bit of self-congratulation about her solitary service. I'm the only one who's doing anything here, she says. Tell her to help me. There are so many symptoms in so many ways that Martha's service was wrong. And so the work became a drag. Her relationships became a problem. And her tongue became sour. She's a great warning as Martha. You know, never, never imagine that Martha is one of these people and you say, well, we could all do with a bit of her. My dear friends, we could all do with none of that. Because she was making serving Christ a substitute for knowing Christ. What was right about Mary's service then? Well, again, the general comprehensive answer to the question you can state in one sentence, and it would be this. She had settled her priorities, and she would not move from them. I want to say to you this morning that it's my increasing conviction that that's one of the biggest things in the world for a Christian. No matter who you are this morning, one of the biggest issues in life is whether you have really settled your priorities and whether your priorities are the same as Jesus' priorities. I was saying at Graham Cameron's wedding yesterday to him and Jane Ann, his wife now, that there is nothing more important than this in marriage as you are setting out into a new part of life together, than that your priorities should be absolutely crystal clear and laid down, and that in everything it's seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There is nowhere where it is more vital than in the service of God, and Mary had settled her priorities. That's what Jesus is pointing to. Do you notice in verse 42 when he says, one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good portion. It will not be taken away from her. And Jesus says, I will not interfere. Contrary to Martha's request, he said, I will not interfere. On the contrary, I set my seal on that woman, on the way she's living and the way she's serving me, because she has settled this priority. And she demonstrated it. Let me point out to you where that's demonstrated. First, she realized that it was more important to let Jesus minister to her than for her to minister to Jesus. Have you really grasped that in your life this morning? It's one of the vital principles of Christian service that it is always more important to let Jesus minister to you than to have you ministering to Jesus. And Mary sat down at Jesus' feet. I don't think for a moment that Mary was one of these lazy louts who didn't do anything in the kitchen or didn't help serve the meal. Martha significantly says, "My sister has left me to serve alone." And most people think, interpreting these words, that it means that Mary had been helping Martha. She had done enough. The sufficiency was all there. But while Martha continued to be distracted by serving, Mary recognized the priority and said, "Nothing in the whole world is going to keep me from being at the feet of Jesus and letting the Lord and Savior, who has the words of eternal life, minister to me." The condition of her own soul was the most vital thing in serving Christ. And my dear friends, that's so abundantly true. That's one of the fragrant things that David Forbes has brought to us since he came back from India. That's one of the deepest realities that has been borne in upon many of us from his experience. That the vital thing in serving Christ is the condition of your own soul. And the terrible thing is, you see, that we can be so engaged, absorbed, and so taken up in every area of our life with ministering to him that we don't let him minister to us. So she sat at Jesus' feet and she listened to his teaching. Now that posture of Mary's expresses eagerness to learn. And it expresses a submission to what he was teaching her. It is the devoted attitude of a woman who had discovered that her main need was to let the Lord Jesus minister to her. And her whole being was open to everything that he was saying. And whatever other desires she had, whatever other interests she had in providing things for Jesus, the one thing that she would never allow to be given second place was the ministry of Jesus to her own soul. It's a very striking thing that so often the souls of God's own servants can be parched, and our lives can go wrong, and our service can degenerate into a burden, because we have been so engaged in ministering to him that we have not allowed him to minister to us. So that needs to be a settled issue in the lives of all God's servants. In Daniel 11:32, we read these highly significant words: "It is the people who know their God who will be strong and do exploits." And I want to say to Ralph and Ailsa and to John and Elspeth this morning, there will never be any substitute for that. Never. The other place where Mary's settled priorities are demonstrated is this. She realized that it was more important to please Jesus than to please anybody else in the world. Mary was under a lot of pressure from people. For her sister, for example, I guess that long before Martha began to complain to Jesus, Mary knew exactly what was in her mind. You know, we have a way of communicating that sort of thing, and I guess, and I think it's a true guess, that Martha went around huffing and puffing all the time that she was serving, you know. There's a way that we can do that. I wouldn't be at all surprised if she bumped into Mary every time she passed her, just to make sure that she knew that things weren't as they ought to be. And every time she passed and looked at her, no doubt, you know, the kind of thing. We can say so much that way. And she was under real pressure from Martha.
And I don't think she was the kind of perverse, angular woman who wanted to be out of sorts with her sister. But it was more important for her to please God than to please anybody else. And she sat at the feet of Jesus because she knew that's where Jesus wanted her to be. She was under pressure, you remember, later from Judas, when she took this costly ointment and poured it out at the Savior's feet and washed his feet with her hair. And Judas came and said, "Why do you allow that? That money should have been given to the poor," he said. "The stuff should have been sold. What a waste."
You know, my friends, when you think of it, here's a doctor and a pharmacist and a solicitor and a biologist all going out to Japan. Worldly people would say, "What a waste. What a waste." But the only way really to invest your life is in what's going to please Jesus. And I tell you, they will find in the end of the day such glorious fulfillment and satisfaction if they have lived to know Him first and to serve Him second, that nothing else in the world can provide. And the poverty-stricken nature of those who hold back what they are from Jesus will be the real tragedy. And so Mary held fast to her priorities. And our prayer and heart's desire to God for them is that they may hold fast to the same priority. And the fruit of such lives, with the prayers of God's people, will be far beyond anything that we could ever measure. Let's pray together. Father, we all of us so much need to learn from You a true sense of priorities, and we pray that You will teach us, and that we may be teachable and malleable in Your hands. Bless us, we pray, as now we commit ourselves and Your servants to You. In Jesus' name, Amen.